Hello, everyone. It's Mary Lou Tyler. Today, I have a guest that you guys who are sales managers are going to love. Jeremy. He is all about leadership. He's all about sales management and sales performance. So even if you're a business developer, you're going to want to listen. But if you're a sales manager, especially, take copious notes and probably want to re-listen to this podcast again, because it's all about you today. So Jeremy is the director of marketing for a company called Ambition, located in the Tennessee area. He's also been involved in the AAISP chapter, the Tennessee local chapter, for coming on 2 years now. And I'll let Jeremy tell you all of his other accolades, but he and I met at an AAISP trade show in Boston. No, I met one of your folks in Boston. And then from there, they introduced me to you. And Jeremy and I have put together a four-part webinar series, all on pretty much the last three or four chapters of Predictable Prospecting, my book. And we have that out there now for you to listen, sit back, relax, listen. But we're also thinking about putting together some actionable workbooks and to get you guys sort of filling out, you know, these action plans of implementing sales performance management. Now, Jeremy represents a company that has a tool for that. So without further ado, I will introduce Jeremy and have him tell us more about his background. Jeremy, welcome.
Thanks, Mary Lou. Absolute pleasure to be working with you again. I feel like it's old hat now. The rapport should come naturally here in this interview.
Let's hope so. The
hours we've put in the last quarter with the great webinar series we did. So thank you for having me on. And I guess to give people a quick background about myself, I joined Ambition in May of 2014. We are a sales performance management platform that basically tailors to any front office team, takes all of your data sources, syncs them together, lets you benchmark and broadcast performance goals, leaderboards, whatever, in real time, directly to reps in their dashboards, in dashboards that can exist, in Salesforce or standalone, and in TVs as well, that your whole team can see right there in your office. So it's been an exciting 2.5 years with these guys. I've watched the product grow a great deal. We went from a product that just scored employee performance, a la fantasy football, if you will, in real time, to becoming this full-blown suite of features that a manager can use now to really manage your entire sales force. And a great group of companies using us: PricewaterhouseCoopers, UPS, ChowNow, Outreach. You can go on ambition.com and check out actually user-driven walkthroughs where we have people like ChowNow, VP of Sales Drew Woodcock, going through each of our features and showing how he used Ambition to run his SDR team, his account executive team, his account management team, all that good stuff. And I'm very passionate about the mission we have. I grew up in a family that has been lifelong B2B sales. My dad was VP of sales for a number of major companies, and my brother happens to be a SaaS account executive himself, selling to CFOs and six-figure deals for the last 3 or 4 years now. So very much a cool mission here to be a part of. And yeah, just people like you, partnering with people like you who are really, you know, sort of helping lead the vanguard of things for sales managers. It's exciting, and these conversations are always fun. So excited to chat with you today.
Well, good. Yeah, I tell you, being a process person, I used to say to people, I have my eyes glaze over when it comes to the people side of things, because I was really more focused on the process itself and relying on the numbers and how the numbers would accentuate and amplify what was actually happening, where things were getting stuck, where the gunk was. But as I worked more and more with clients, I realized that it's really a triad of people, process, and then with technology now, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you have the right tools and you deploy the tool the way, as we talked about in the webinar, more looking at the function of your sales process and your sales methodology rather than the form of the tool itself. So tell us, Jeremy, you know, what What's changed in, you said now ambition goes the whole way, but let's talk about each area, because I have people who listen on this podcast are business developers. There are sales executives who specialize in closing business. There's account managers. So let's start at the top of the funnel. Marketing reps who take usually the inbound leads, and then business development reps. And tell us what the challenges were and are, so that people have a level of awareness around, you know, where they might be falling short, and how a product like yours, or how to think about using and leveraging technology like yours in order to create more of a predictable stream of opportunities.
Sure thing. So I like the way you're starting off framing this, by the way, just with the funnel aspect. So I can speak to this firsthand as someone who's responsible for basically all inbound lead gen and demand gen with ambition. What we're seeing with the top of the funnel and inbound marketing, BDRs, account-based, SDRs, all that sort of stuff, is there's now a very strong metric-driven, quota-based almost approach now to for your inbound team and your lead generation team. So all of a sudden now we're focusing a lot more on benchmarking and creating predictability around lead generation. So that's kind of the basically taking the quota approach for account executives, right? Like you guys have close this much revenue in this quarter, and applying it now to BDRs and SDRs or whatever you want to call them, and saying, all right, you guys have to now, establish this many new qualified leads this quarter, have this many meetings set, all that stuff, and create a very, predictable pipeline of new business coming in that your teams can close. So it's just on a larger level, it's a very good, I think, healthy move forward, because it helps align sales and marketing much more fully when both teams are sort of under the gun, if you will. And it helps marketing too. Like, you want people who in marketing who have that sales mentality. I'm one of those people where I'm like keeping score of myself. All that matters are the final numbers, so you don't have marketing off, and it's, as a lot of salespeople like to think, off doing arts and crafts or something like that on the side. So yeah, that's a very key aspect of sort of the new vanguard here. And whether you're doing an inbound led sort of thing, where you maybe have a very transactional sale and marketing is responsible for bringing in inbound leads and they can be quickly closed, usually in a week or two, or you have a very outbound led lead generation strategy where you have BDRs going out and aggressively attacking accounts. It's the same thing. You need numbers around both of those. You need to figure out a way to create a pipeline for both of those that can scale very easily, and that can help you, grow your business into the future.
And the other thing that I see a lot still with respect to benchmarks, what's nice about benchmarks is it's a baseline for each of you to start, but you're going to be crafting your own benchmark depending on, as Jeremy was saying, if you're inbound only, if you're outbound, if you're blended, if you do account-based selling. There might be different sales functions that are assigned to different accounts. In the olden days, we used to call them the core accounts, which would be the top 20, the people that you would like as customers. So they're going to have a different type of touch sequence. Then you have extended universe, which is like everybody else, but they also are pretty good size. They're the whales, and you're going after them differently. You have hyper personalization of email, voicemails. You also have data-driven personalization. But the beauty of all this is that there are benchmarks for all of these to get started. So you're not 11th hour, 59th minute, questioning yourself, well, where am I relative to where I should be? You at least have something to look forward to. That's what I love about the tools.
100%. And it actually goes to, me and Brian Trousel, our COO, who is a guy you met, AISP Boston, we just wrote a big article on why the front office is the front line for sort of a new approach to employee performance management. And it's funny, we invoked the Progress Principle, which is a great book I encourage everyone to read, that basically breaks down sort of why, like what separates high performing teams from lower performing teams in business. And it's based on just a ridiculous amount of data and daily journal entries from all these employees that these authors got involved in the analysis. Mm-hmm. And the number one catalyst they found for creating the right kind of employee mentality for driving high performance is setting clear goals. Yeah. So, you know, number one thing found by Progress Principle, found by, you know, practitioners, found by people like you, even looking at like Mark Roberger, all these other guys, it's the same thing. It's a goal-based, numbers-based approach, and having that no longer just apply to your closers, but to your entire front office, if you will, so that everyone's aligned around them.
Yeah, and they are numbers and they are a starting point, because as you start tracking and starting to get into the rhythm of the lag of what the touch counts are, the actual rhythm or cadence of, do I need to do 3 phone calls before I get in the door with the decision maker, or where am I at? You're developing your own kind of secret sauce that you're going to be using to create a predictable framework. And that's really what it's all about. Now, not all channels will be predictable, but the ones that are the ones that are going to be more accurate on the forecast. And they're typically going to be the larger accounts, because those are the ones in a universe of accounts that probably have a high likelihood of closing with higher revenue. So this is all giving you that arsenal, those tools, all the cool things that you can, if you're definitely a goal-oriented person, like most of us in sales are, and even technical, we're all goal-oriented. So if you have that in front of you, it's a beautiful thing. I just think it's great that you can see where you are. It's like when I was a kid, I used to draw a thermometer on my wall board because I was training for something. I think it was like the American Council of Fitness when I was a kid, to throw a softball 150 feet. Is that right? I can't remember how far it was, but I used to mark on this thermometer in red every time I inched up further to my goal. You know, that. So for someone like me, this is just like the best thing ever to have. So.
No, awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, when you're competing or when you have a goal in front of you, you perform better. I'll say this. Mm-hmm. I was never the most athletically adept kid growing up. I love sports and I played sports, especially basketball, like year round on like rec teams and stuff. But it's funny, I was captain of one team, Mary Lou, and that was our competitive writing team. We're our wordsmith team, and we true story. And I remember winning the gold medal. We won like the City of Memphis like championship against all the other schools senior year. It was interesting just having a goal and a competition based element towards writing something. And you're gonna perform better because you're going to have like, okay, here's like a clear. Yeah, you have the sense of competition, you have the goal that's in front of you, you have the reward that's in front of you, and you have your pride on the line.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you can imagine with the energy in a BDR, a business development organization, since remember, we're working top of funnel, so we have a lot more records that are going through our pipeline. And so there's a higher, just a naturally higher energy of working. And we do things in blocks. We do a lot of phone calls and we do them consistently and serially. So having this type of software, having this ability to track where we're at relative to goal is really important. So now let's cross over. We've got those opportunities figured out. We have created an environment that's fun, that people are constantly helping each other, and we're on a team making our goals. Now we have these ops that are going to be handed over to the quota-carrying people. What does that look like in a sales performance management tool?
Great, great question. So for account executives, the idea with the sales performance management tool is to take things like, you know, the standard things you're measuring, which is probably deals and revenue, whatever, but then adding a bunch of context around it so that account executives can see, here's how I'm trending, you know, based on, here's how I'm trending compared to past performance. Here's how I'm trending versus my peers. You can see things like, here's the account executives who are maybe doing the least amount of calls but getting closer to, but closing more deals, not operating more efficiently. Great example here. In one of our clients, I won't divulge the company, but SaaS, like high level SaaS company, very, very big name. Their accounting executive is responsible for closing deals, and they actually attacked the HR level. A lot of them were told this is, you know, basically where you're supposed to be trying to close is working with, at this level. Well, we found that what one of the managers found because of our tool inadvertently was that one of their highest performers was able to close more deals doing less calls because they had we have a thing called a productivity quadrant where you can see the x-axis is activity, calls, emails, whatever. Mm-hmm. Y-axis is your goal acquisition. So it's revenue, it's deals. And there's one person who was the amazing outlier. They were very high up in the top left quadrant. High goal acquisition, low activity. And they asked that person, what have you been doing that's like so successful? And the person's like, to be honest, I've been going straight to the C-level. I've been bypassing the director of HR and selling to the CFO. And so they started doing more analysis around that, and they end up actually changing their paradigm for that. So sales performance management, if you're using the platform correctly, and there's other platforms out there that are really good, like Insight Squared, stuff like that, they can really tell you how your process is doing. But what they can do is help you, but like show you how your process is doing by giving you data-driven perspective on your individual people. So your account executives that are performing extremely well, they can tell you this person is killing it, this person does extremely well, they have very low or very high calls to deal ratio. I guess very low calls to deal ratio. Mm-hmm. They tend to close things very quickly. So then you can go, what are you doing that makes you so effective over the phone? And that person can then relay that information to the rest of the team and so forth. So effective, especially at the account executive level where there's a lot more maybe skill, if you will, or art in some ways to closing deals, mm-hmm. you can really start to get a sense of what is that artistic or what's that strategy that is working particularly well amongst your AEs, and how can you maybe start to codify it and leverage it across your entire team more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In fact, I was having a discussion this morning with a colleague of ours about how many times we've each heard how unique the sales process is, the customers are, the clients are, the prospects are. And the answer, you know, that I always say is, I'm sure they are, but somewhere in there, there's a behavior that we can tap into that's consistent. And if we can tap into the consistency of behavior, and like you say, codify it, or I call it bottle it up, and you know, like the secret sauce again, if we can actually get that thing embedded into the framework as something that's actionable for us, we're going to be so much more successful. But it's hard to spot those things if you don't have an analysis tool to be able to look at and slice and dice things in various different ways. That whole what if analysis for the entire pipeline is what we thrive on. It's, I think, easier to do at top of funnel because we have so many records we're working with. There's a statistical relevance in the amount of touches that we do. But like you said, you know, to find that outlier to say, you know what, we're at the wrong level. We need to go up a level. And just think about what that impacts. I mean, if all of your marketing is written for the HR person and now you got to revamp it for the CFO, but you can close more business, you know, that's going to be an initiative that'll be bubbling up to the top.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to give you one more example, a very different example, this is, I mean, same thing. It's one of our clients, Reliance Partners, actually, here in Tennessee. So one of the top 10 fastest growing logistics companies in the country. And what they did, they were looking at who their top performers were. And what they started out doing was a test where they had people, because they're calling their logistics broker, their third-party logistics, are calling, working with companies from all over the country. And they had a guy from the Northeast who was dealing. They're like, okay, we're going to have you work the Northeast accounts. And he was killing it with all the Northeast accounts. And they're like, well, maybe this is a thing where, you know, having reps who are from a different area, maybe we have a southern guy from Alabama, you know, mm-hmm. and we should look to see if we can geographically focus him, you know, his calling and his accounts in the rural Southeast. And then we have somebody who's Midwest, who's from Chicago, who's one of our account execs. And we're going to have him, you know, dealing with firms in Chicago, Illinois, Ohio, whatever. And lo and behold, that actually it worked. And they ended up like codifying it into across their whole company now, which is crazy. But it started out with them looking at, here's the high performers. We're going to put this person with these people, and we're able to measure previous performance when that person was not targeting a certain region versus performance after we switched to this region. And we can compare him because we have a tool like this that's a BI tool, but that's built specifically for sales. Mm-hmm. And we can very easily see, okay, this is actually, this person's doing better compared to the control, which is everybody else, you know, and there's you know, he's the outlier. And then we do it, we, you know, extend it, same thing's happening, we're getting the results across the board. So, yeah, it's funny how the stuff like that, you know, territory assignments, you know, which level to attack, that's where like sales performance management, especially on the AE level, can really, really become effective.
That's great. You know, and just one story about an equivalent to that at the top of funnel again is emails. We did a lot of testing with how to write a cold email or an introductory email, the Midwest versus the coasts versus Germany versus UK versus France. And once we changed the language and the sentiment, especially here in the US, East Coast people are, you know, it, we found for this particular company was more apt to be told what to do. And then Midwest was more apt to respond to a request because they're more polite here in the Midwest in Des Moines, Iowa. But, you know, it's just amazing how, you know, your tool allows you to do that. We have to rely on the numbers to test and see where, you know, if we change one word and we're looking at behavioral indexes and things and sentiment databases and things to give us what we need. But that's so powerful. So now we've got the rep, he's closed the business and or she. So now we've got the closed account from the account executive and we have clients. How is or can sales performance management tools be used once we have a client in place? Now, let me just preface that by saying clients for us on top of funnel through the referral engine are extremely important. So loyalty, engagement, and those types of things really help us. What do you say about sales performance management?
Sure. So, and I lost a little bit over there at the end, but I'll go ahead and answer. So we've got a couple of case studies on this. It's actually very fascinating. So account management, one of the key things, I think, with sales performance management is you can loop in account management and have them on the same page with your sales team, have them synchronize. One of the ways you can do that is by using a platform like Ambition, which incentivizes certain behaviors that you found to be more effective that you want your account managers doing more. So if you want your account managers calling your current accounts as opposed to just emailing them, to check in or to renew or upsell, one of the ways to use Ambition is they benchmark and weight calls. After College is a great example of this. We had a case study with them. After College weighted calls more heavily than emails or any other activity so that the person's Ambition score on their account management team would rise much more dramatically if they were calling accounts as opposed to emailing them. Another key aspect of sales performance management is the recognition layer. So Ambition, we have TVs, which basically can provide real-time notifications on when somebody hits a performance goal. Could be anyone who's on Ambition. The goal could be where the manager wants to set up. It could be, you know, talk to 20 current accounts today. It could be close $10,000 in new revenue today. It could be set 5 meetings today, you know, for SDRs. Mm-hmm. So what that does, though, is that helps account managers stay synced in with the rest of the team and basically have a better understanding of here's how what I'm doing fits into the broader picture. Here's how what I'm doing. Here's why calling somebody impacts things better. it gives managers better insight into what is more effective. So, like, if calling is more effective than email, they'll be able to trace it because they're tracking calls, emails, and then maybe client renewals, client referrals, or whatever, you know, the desired behavior or goals are with your current clients. And so it's pretty powerful and can be used a number of different ways based on how, you know, you work with your clients. For us, we look for client renewals and, greater adoption amongst our current clients of Ambition. So that's one of the ways we measure success is how many times are we talking to somebody versus how many times are they adding seats or something like that. But it's a pretty powerful thing. And I'm a huge believer in having, I think account management is really, you know, sort of the next level now we're starting to see of scaling a business team well, because we have happy clients. It's going to be able to create a loop that's much more easy for you to scale your team, and your BDRs can leverage it, your marketing can leverage it, your current account executives can leverage it. So, those are just two. I think the having the visibility, the synchronicity, and the recognition around your account manager's behavior is really the big three things that sales performance management tools like Ambition can help with.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I think that what I heard that really resonates with me is that whole team aspect, the collaboration, and it's a feedback loop that it's so important. You know, we get our customer testimonials, our endorsements, our stories, our referrals, our references. I mean, it all comes from the client base, and we need to love them more in order to be able to grow the top of funnel. I mean, I think that goes without saying, and sometimes we get caught in this whole net new, that we forget that, hey, these are clients who believe in us, trust us, took our hand, and now we need to treat them as such. So if we have mechanisms in place that allow us to continue that, you know, no trust and like scenario, that's going to win more business for us in the future and make our lives easier, especially on the front lines, the stuff that I do, in being able to start conversations with people we don't know.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's like literally our operating mantra here at Ambition. That's why we're profitable as a nine-person SaaS company. That's the thing. I think another key aspect of that too is account managers, you have to, you know, have to remember is they don't have, you know, the huge compensation packages that account execs have. They don't have, like a lot of BDRs have, the incentive of, okay, I do this, I get to go and become an account executive and have this huge compensation package. So what you can really do to help account managers, a lot of whom have a little more thankless aspects of the job and are dealing sometimes with frustrated clients or they're solving problems, and they can have a more, you know, a thing where they can get, you know, they're not always having, they have a lot of the same frustrations that sales can have. Right. But by having them feel, giving them the same recognition things and having them feel like they're part of the whole team, you know, as one, and they're not siloed over here as these nameless, thankless people, you can really just help their day-to-day, you know, motivation and positivity levels. And we've heard a lot of that. That's straight from the mouth of our clients who really like, credit to their sales operations leaders and their managers have really made that a concerted effort to do that. And I've seen really good results from it.
Wonderful. Well, we are at the top of our time to talk. We've gone over a little bit, but I'm sure everybody was just bending into their earphones, leaning in with all this great information. So how do we get a hold of you, Jeremy? If we want to learn more, know more, see more, try more, what do we do?
Sure. So to get in contact with me, you can email me, jeremy.boudinet@ambition.com. You can find me on LinkedIn too. I'm on there all the time. And then for Ambition, definitely recommend checking us out, ambition.com. You can also find us on Twitter @AmbitionSales. Probably the best bets there. And I encourage you to check out our blog. We're very active. There's all kinds of stuff on there. There's product information. There's customer case studies. There's stuff like the 4-part webinar series to do with you that's purely educational and informative. And we're always trying to do stuff that's really, the bottom line is just, it's meant to help people. We're not writing BuzzFeed clickbait articles and trying to get, you know, SEO stuff. We try to do stuff that's generally helpful, whether you're interested in ambition or not, and your sales manager trying to keep up in the challenging landscape here as we enter 2017. So happy to help. Contact us however you like. And yeah, that's definitely check out the Sales Development Accelerator. That's our webinar series with you.
Yes, yes. And I will put all of your contact information in the show notes because Boudinet may not be like Smith to spell.
Appreciate that, yes.
So I'll get that all in there. But I think a couple of things I wanted to wrap up with about that. And, you know, it is all about education. A lot of you probably want to do your research ahead of time. The blog is really good for that. And it's going to answer questions you didn't even think to ask if you start reading the blog. I mean, there's a lot of aha moments for people like me who are so focused on process and forget about the other pieces that are really important in order to create a predictable pipeline with reduced lag. And Jeremy's is definitely reducing the lag and figuring out the magic formula and mojo in order to get a consistency in the pipeline. So take a look at that and I'll put those notes. Jeremy, thank you so much for your time and energy. And I love working with you. It's been fun.
Absolutely, Mary Lou. Thank you. And yeah, I look forward to seeing what you come out with here in 2017.